I wanted to discuss with you a very important topic, and I was discussing with my wife a lot of these details, and she questioned why. It's very similar to my introduction that I did my first dating and marriage share with you, which was, when am I ready? And one of the points I said is that I felt that probably 95 to 99% of you are not ready, so why are you talking about this now? And part of it is that it's education. It's as much as when it comes to the young ladies, our sisters and cousins around the Rova, who are thinking about it since they're, you know, they're groomed that way. I guess pun intended. But we're not thinking about it as much. And I gave examples of in the last year. At the same time, it's important to know what I'm going to talk about now. I'm going to talk about, it could be a 15-minute share, it could be a 35-minute share. We'll see how long it goes, depending on how many pencils are dropped in the middle. That will drive me crazy. But hint, please state it. The what I'm going to talk about now will be details, but I want to frame what I'm going to be saying is not just within details, but I think is something that has come up. What I'm going to say is not new, but I think the challenges that have come up are new. And when I say it's not new, I'll give you the example. The example was, it's not new that in certain modern circles that we know, whether it's our families or our cousins or our great aunts, that when it comes to weddings, there's a concept called mixed dancing. It's not a new phenomenon in 2015. Oh my goodness, there's a concept called mixed dancing. It's not a new thing that... Again, when I say that it's not a new concept, it's not something that halacha mandates. I'm saying that the phenomenon has been around. And you have to know how to deal with it. I sat with, 2 weeks ago, I sat with Rav Schechter, speaking to him about it, about the concept of being a Masadar Kiddushin, for you know somebody who's going to be mixed dancing. And I told him, I remember all of the, in the Young Israel weddings or whatever it is, I don't want to machtir or label. I'm going to be very careful how what I do say, and I'll say what is what I believe. Ari Cutler, you know how you have on certain things. This is not necessarily Yeshivat HaKotel's, you know, content now on the new YU Torah website. Everything is all the volunteers. So I'll be very careful to say what I say and to say what's minag hamakom and these type of things. But I remember growing up and knowing about it and being at weddings. Then all of a sudden, immediately, somehow, there was like a mad rush to the door. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that mad rush to the door. It's like a havdil when the game is over, and like, okay, the game's over, the mad rush to the door. So Rav Schechter told me when I was sitting with the year three guys in YU, around 15 guys, 2 weeks ago, I asked him about this. He said, yeah, I remember being at a wedding with Rabbi Haskell Lukstein, and I'm sitting for a meal, and... he says to me, Herschel, time to get up. And he's like, what are you talking about? The main meal hasn't happened yet. He goes, time to get up. Meaning, it was the third dance, whatever it is. They were doing some sort of mixed dancing. And the macha at that point was, we don't approve of this. And therefore, we're going to leave. But at the same time, they had their constituency within their modern Orthodox shul. And this is what you have to do. So this is not something, give me a second, we'll get through it. But what I do want to frame, what I think is new, is the concept of the generation we're living in, which is, I brought for you, you don't have it in front of you, but many of us know we're living in the Facebook generation. And the Facebook generation changes it. And I brought from you a letter from the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, who tells you the essence of what Facebook is about. Facebook is a social mission. And he says it around three or four times in paragraphs, where he says it, to make the world more open and connected. And he says many times about open. What? He can send out now. So if you want to take... Take a picture and you're sending it out. There it is. And there's a lot to do within this letter to talk about. But basically, we're living, if you read between the lines of what Facebook is saying that everything should be public. I remember, you know, pre-Facebook, and I sound like for the alter bachrim over here. The concept of pre-Facebook is when you were doing your laundry, you wouldn't put it up and say, "I'm doing laundry now." You know, but everything now is open, and he even says that everyone has to have their own opinion, entitled to their own opinion, and everything. There's no such thing as privacy. And that's what he says. It's true. And there are blogs and blogs about the concept of the privacy settings, and it's all a bunch of bogus. And he doesn't really want the private. Everything's supposed to be open. Meaning, I heard it. The truth is I couldn't find it. It's Chathayani Maskirayom. I prepared for this year. And I remember, maybe it was the Torah Shabbal Peh Facebook. I remember him saying that I don't want people to be fake. I want people to disclose themselves and say who they are. Everyone should know who everybody else is. No more masks. That's the generation we're living in, with not only the information, but the openness and openness. If you read the letter, he talks a lot about it being open. This, I think, is a strong contrast within a midah called tzniut. We have a concept called v'ahavta l'reich kamocha, and we have a concept called tzniut, where Micha, in the first source in front of you, says, what is Hashem doresh mimcha ki masot mishpat vavat chesed v'atznei alechet im elokecha? Now, many of you have heard the tzniut speech in camps, you know, act sanua. And many of us have always rolled our eyes and thought about that tzniut is for women and it's sleeve length. And some of you might have learned this. I brought for you both a piece from Rav Kook and from Rabbi Lam. And when, again, sitting with Rav Schechter a couple weeks ago, he mentioned this idea from Rabbi Lam, which I'll say in a minute. But first, Rav Kook. Rav Kook says in his sefer called Midot HaRa'aya about tzniut. And the reason I'm going to be talking about tzniut and v'ahavta l'reich kamocha, again, framing, I think the challenge of these details, of building a hashkafa within yourself now in Shana Bet, and as you mature, where you're going to have to deal with all these details and what type of bayit you want to build within your house. And tzniut, and what we're going to say right now, is not just fluff. It is hashkafa, but it's also halacha. And some people will say, oh, that's just hashkafa, and hashkafa is not halacha. And hopefully, as you've developed, you've learned to say that, first of all, hashkafa very much affects halacha. And you have to know, just like Kabbalah affects halacha, so too hashkafa affects halacha. And you have to know that intermingling is very important. And so too over here, it's tzniut. Tzniut is not just a fluffy concept. It's something, if you look at Rav Kook here says, midat tzniut goremet tovot rabot ba'olam, causes many amazing things. Mitoch kach hi zocha, it's such an important intrinsic midah that it is zocha to be docha, to lidchot mipaneh dvarim shayu tovim mitzarat atzman. It has the ability in a certain framework called aseh docha lo taseh type of idea, but it's not the lo taseh. Other good things. It's docha other good things which are intrinsically good. But because we're naturally, we have a certain evil inclination, we're weak. But what's going to happen if we do that intrinsically good thing, which he's about to say, we will lose the proper proportions. Shehi, and he says, what is tzniut? Shehi kiyumo shel ha'olam ha'ruchani v'achomri. It's the foundation of our religion, of our spiritual and physical existence in this world. And therefore he says, midat ahava v'yididut, which again is the paradigm of a wedding, of the paradigm of a marriage, is trying to figure out how do you have v'ahavta l'recha kamocha in the greatest of sense. Midat ahava v'yididut b'chol ha'simonim v'adibrim anochim. We should be totally, if after a kamocha, there should be no difference between man and woman together. But what? But because of the important value of tzniut, until the Shulchan Aruch says, and this you have to figure out, where it says, based on the Gemara Kiddushin and Daf Ayin, and it's brought down in Evan Ezer, in Halacha, and Siman Chaf Aleph, that it's Asur Lish'ol B'Shalom Isha. He quotes this Halacha. And I'll talk to you in a second, because this bothered me for a while, which is, in our world, most people here will see either a friend or a friend's mother and say, hey, how are you, Nancy, or Mrs. Watson, or whatever it is. You know, there's no Watson here, right? You know what I'm saying? You would say that, and it's against Dina de Shulchan Aruch. So you have to know that there's a ritva there that is quoted by the Aruch HaShulchan Halacha. That again, it's the same thing about Kol Hashem Shamayim. That you have to know, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, you can't ask, because it's going to lead to Hirhurim. And that's where a lot of the Haredim, in certain Haredi worlds, will not look at another woman. And many of us have been, ugh, they have such bad midos. They don't care about anybody. They don't have v'aftarech kamocha. They're so antisocial. No, they're just learning the Shulchan Aruch like the Chalkos and Machokik on the side. And they say, it's Hirhurim, I can't say hello. We happen to go like the Ritva and the Aruch HaShulchan there. And we have to say the Kol Shem Shamayim. Now that doesn't give a full matir to say, oh, I know the Aruch HaShulchan. And therefore I can go have 45 minute conversations with the opposite gender. You have to know yourself. You have to know what type of person you are. It's not so simple. You have to know yourself. But this is not that discussion. That's more of a youth group discussion of understanding. Well, it's connected because we're in Shovavim. But or Shovavim Tat, because there's an extra 2 weeks this year. But there is this concept, what do we see, of tzniut being such a supreme value that it even crushes or pushes aside the concept of the Ahavta Rehecha Kamocha. Last two paragraphs, and then I want to show you what Rabbi Lam says about it. And then we'll get into some of the details after we framed, in my opinion, the bigger challenge that, as much as there really challenges 20 years ago, it's, I think, even more challenging nowadays. The concept where I watch myself is not because of hatred. I understand what's the important, the bigger picture. Oh, how can I do this? Erech ha-hagbala, to know that there's got to be a certain limitation. V'yikabel ota be'ava. This is Rav Kook. If you look at Rabbi Lam, Rabbi Lam talks about the concept of tzniut, and I only brought you in page 194, 195. He has an article here, it's brought down in the 70 faces, the articles of faith that I got as a smicha gift. But he talks about beautiful ideas. I just wanted to keep focused there. He calls it tzniut, a universal concept. And he talks about tzniut being at the beginning, talks about kedusha. That's why we cover Sefer Torah, as opposed to when we just finished Hanukkah, where they had had exposure. We have hiddenness, which is the natural environment of kedusha. That's the antithetical to the Greeks. Then he has a second dimension of tzniut, and that's the experience of kavod, glory, majesty, dignity. Concept of being dignified, having a sense of self-respect. Okay? But for our purpose, page 194, he proposes a third concept. The third concept, what he says of tzniut, is the concept of privacy, for which no word exists in classical Hebrew. Privacy is a very important entity, and hence, not only in secular generally, but also in halacha. And it's not, he says, where does it come from? This is what Rav Schechter, and I said before, Rav Schechter had told me, that there's a concept called, God is known not only as a Kel Nakom, but God is known as what else? Kel Mistater. God is hidden. Comes in this week's parasha also. Right? Asher lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. That what happens? That there's a concept of imitacho day, and therefore you have to walk in God's ways. One of those ways is that God not only reveals himself, but we know he conceals himself. We have to be ladat at Hashem, but anybody who says he knows God, he's an apikoros, right? We are able to see God's attributes, but nobody really knows God. God is a kel mistater. And this, he goes and explains that this is not only in Hashkafa, but if you, I don't know if I photocopied 196, but guess what he quotes? He quotes Gemara Baba Basra, Shutfit, he quotes Hezekiah, he quotes the whole sugya. On page 196, I don't know if I photocopied it, I already cut off a lot of paper. But he talks about the Hezekiah, that I cannot invade another person's privacy by spying on them, and I have to pay. If I'm on the upper level, and I'm looking into your roof, I have to pay to make sure that he doesn't lose his privacy. This concept of tzniut being privacy, together with what Rav Kook said, is what I believe comes and it flies in the face of the generation we're in, and therefore it is that much more important to go. What I'd like to do is go over some of the details of what's called PDA. Everyone knows what PDA is? You know, you have FOMO, which is fear of missing out. What's the Rosh Tevos PDA? Public displays of affection that are happening. And to talk about, as we move through the wedding and a little bit post-wedding, to talk about this concept of PDA, to understand that in the framework, this is something that I've been thinking about since I got married. And it's something that I notice, and it's something, for example, I went to a close relative's wedding. I'll skip ahead for a second. A close relative's wedding. And what happens? They were very frum. And as a result of that, there was no mixed seating at a wedding because of the concept of tzniut. You shouldn't be looking. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch, it's in front of you in the sources. I skipped ahead for a little bit. The concept of mixed seating. We know tzarich Shulchan Aruch, siman chafalof, tzarich litrachek me'anashim od mod. You can't be winking. You can't be having kalut rosh with them. That's sif aleph. However, sif gimel comes and says mutar listakel bipnuya listakel. I told you that Rav Yitzchak Cohen shot, right? Everyone knows there's a lot of apocryphal stories about Rav Yitzchak Cohen shlita. Everyone has their own girsos, so different stories. I was a first-hand erech neman b'yisur. I was in MTA Hakadosh, ninth grade. Comes in to give a bechina, and what does he say? After giving the bechina, then he talks. He gives us a schmooze about young ladies, and he goes, "Guys, I told you this before. Girls, they're like expensive china. Look, but don't touch." So, what did a good MTA ninth grader say? He said, "Look." Yeah. That was a michlal heina. You know, give all things. So the truth is, it's also a look, but says in Siv Gimel. Mutar listakel bipnuya levatka im hi yafet sheisaena ben shi betula or beula, etc. Okay, lo listakel derech snut, etc. Which means, so as I said, I was at a close relative's wedding, and they were very frum, and therefore, what do they have? They not only do certain people not let you sit next to your wife because you can't sit next to your wife, but also boys or young men of connubial age couldn't sit together with the opposite gender. Because, say, also the stakelba, I grew up in a community that said, this is a tremendous opportunity to deal with the shidduch crisis. They didn't know what the concept of the crisis was in shidduch. They said, this is a beautiful kadosh environment to be able to meet people. So therefore, I felt that what they felt was from, by putting all the males in the Badad Yeshev Michutz L'Machaneh, I felt was very unfrum, because this is the time to be able to properly meet their Bashert, or meet their Bachur, or meet their Chasim. But these are the examples where you could take one thing and say it's Aser. And again, there are certain communities that's what happens, that even the husbands can't sit with their wives. But now what I want to go through is some more issues that have come up that even 10 years ago were around, but I think even more with the Facebook generation, I think is literally in my face when I'm sending an email to a Talmud of mine. So if you want to go through it, I'm not going to go through the halakha, but some people with wearing a ring, the concept of where a man wants to wear a ring also. So we all know Rav Moshe in his tshuva in front of you, Chelek Gimel Siman Yonchet, that Rav Greenblatt, Ephraim Greenblatt, originally from Memphis, a big Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, asked him that, can you have a double ring ceremony? And he said it's aser, and he aser it on many accounts, whether it's Minag Nachrim, whether even if you don't say anything under the chuppah, that it's an iser gadol, that now people are going to forget Dine Kiddushin. Look, you have to, maybe she can actually make the Kiddushin. It's clear that it's aser to do that. Those people that the woman wants, or he himself is working in business and needs that reminder. So what is done is usually the ring is given in the yichurum. So that's that piece. Now what happens? After, so I'll give you some questions. Here are some of the questions that Rav Soloveitchik was asked. And I wonder if he would even give The same answer that he gave then, Rav Shechter quotes in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, that he was asked, would he be Masader Kiddushin with the following, one of the Musmachim was asked, it's in page Ratio Dalit in Pnini HaRav, that says, one of the Musmachim was asked, would you be Masader Kiddushin for a Zug, for a couple that is not Shomer Mitzvos? And what happened? That the parents asked the following request. Four conditions. Condition number one. The Kala does not want to go around the Chasen seven times. Number two. They want even the Kala to give the ring to the Chasen and say something. Number three. The Horei HaKala, the parents of the Kala, don't want to bring her down to the Chuppah. She should go alone. And then Uvagia Samach L'Chuppah, he should come out from the Chuppah, greet her, take her, hug her. This is a reading over there. Yaviena b'chibuk zrotehem el tachar ha-chuppah. And then number four, if the Rav wants to stay for the Suda, for sure we will have a kosher meal for you. Those are the four conditions that he was asked. So which one of the four do you think that he said, I don't think so? And which one did he say, it's okay? What do you say? The first one, let's go. The first one he says, the Kala doesn't want to go around the Chasan seven times. Right? So, that's what he said. He said, eh. He basically said, look, you know, he said, it's a nice thing, it's a minhag, there's Kabbalah, but for that, Amar lo Rabbeinu, no! Mutar lecha l'sader ta kiddushin afilu bli zeh. Before we move on, I wonder nowadays, that's what I said, I wonder nowadays with where if it would come, I think much more as a, you could say the feminist, ooh, right? No way am I going to walk around the chassan. He should walk around me also. Three and a half, right? So you think it's a joke, but this is what people say. So I wonder if he would say the same thing, but this is what he said now. Number two, we just discussed the concept of the double ring ceremony. It's keneged halacha. There's no way, no how. Number three is very interesting. Number three, he says, is, so first of all, it's not interesting, the concept. He says it to the extreme. We're going to get to the point right now, which is what? A lot of times, in our weddings, what happens? The chassan comes out and greets the kala. Is that a problem at all? So, what Rav Soloveitchik talked about is, like, look, he said, that's chutzpah. Of course they can't hug at that point. So you have to explain to them that the chuppah is a matir, and they can't do that. But we're not talking about that. Because Rav Shechter, in a different sefer, in his Binyanei HaNisuin, in sefer Bikvei HaTzon, talks about this minhag in Ot Yud Gimel, that he said, he calls it a minhag chadash, that when the kala comes, the chassan was already coming, who was already under the chuppah, would come. And he says, this is a makor in Rashi, in Vizos HaBracha, Hashem Misinai Ba, Vizorach Misir Loma. The Gemara Baba Kama says that was the minhag of Rav Chanina, that he would say, Bohu Vineitse, Likrat Kala, Malkata.
I don't understand. What's the two possibilities?
Either
he stands in the chuppah
and she comes, which is for years. Right. And now, I would say, over the last... No, the question that he wanted is not only that the chassan will come, but come out and hug her and bring her in.
What do you mean
come out? Come from underneath the chuppah. He's underneath the chuppah already. Come out, approach her, hug her in a public display, PDA, and then come in. Right? So he says that's obviously not. So I've lowered the isser o-meter, right? And saying, is there a problem for the chassan to come out? So the first thing that Rav Shechter says in Ikvei Atzon, it's based on a Rashi. It's based on a Rashi, which is brought down in Vezos HaBrach, Hashem Misinai Ba, the minhag of Rav Chanina, that he would be ragil to come, bo v'neitzei likrat, kala malkata. The Marsha there in the Gemara Baba Kama quotes this Rashi. However, the Marsha says that Rav Yanai had a different midah. Shelo amar neitzei likrata, ela adarabah, he would stay there and say, boi kala, Bowi Kalam. And Rav Shechter brings here, I think it's from Rav Soloveitchik, that I'm not sure if it is from Rav Soloveitchik, maybe the reason why Rav Chanina would not do that is because the chassan coming to the kala is only when they have erusin already, and they're ready to do nisun. Because then you could say, Bowu Likra, the Hagdara Hilchatit of chassan v'kala. But the concept of what? The concept here is you're not considered a chas and a kala, and therefore, before Erusin, there were a lot of people that would not call them, even though you're engaged, you wouldn't call them a chas and a kala. They're meshudach, they're shiduchim. Okay, the bottom line comes, he says in the name of Rav Salaf, Echek Shamati Shapamaya Rabbeinu Zal, quotes in both Penina Rav and in Ikfei Atzon, that he was at a chasana when a chasa did this, he came out a little bit, the krata kala, he didn't like it so much. He says, Minakzeh min hanachrim lachuhu. But at the same time, he says he didn't like it. He didn't like it. I'm not sure the concept of what we're going to sing, that it's dafka, if it's actually min ha-nachrim, I'm not sure that there's an isor d'oraisa. For example, like after you finish the wedding and the chut, they say, okay, now you are man and bride, let's kiss. That in itself, kissing under the chuppah, is not just what we talked about, lack of tznius, about tznei alechad alchem. That's clearly keminag ha-nachrim, that's an isur d'oraisa, to kiss publicly. When it comes to hugging, my personal opinion is that is also a major problem of hashkaf and of lachav of tznius. It's a lack of tzniut, of being able to publicly display that in front of everybody. Again, this is something that you have to. Some people are so, oh my goodness, I finally get to hug her and I love her. I want to be able to give her a hug. On a certain level, you have another 10 minutes to get to the chuppah, to get to the yichurum, and then you could have your intimate nishikot. Okay? The question then comes, okay, after you've broken the glass, you say mazel tov, you hold yourself back from hugging and kissing, you've talked about it with your kala, that you say, okay, we'll be able to control ourselves. We've been controlling ourselves to this time. We control ourselves that it's not public, where it makes other people feel uncomfortable. And this is the concept of tzniut. Do you hold hands with your kala going down the aisle? And this is a general question. Am I allowed to hold hands with my wife in public? And what's the answer? In my opinion, it depends. Which means, it could very well be that in certain, definitely in Bnei Brak, and in certain more places, it's pasha that they're not going to do it. It's pasha that from people in that way are not going to be holding their hands. That's pasha. I'm sure in the Chicago yeshiva, I'm sure that it's pashnish. Pashnish, you don't hold hands in public. Seattle also, pashnish. You don't hold hands in public. Right? That is something that I think is a balanced piece. Rav Neuberger, I heard in the name of Rav Neuberger, that if your wife wants to be holding hands in public, it might be a kiyum of mitzvah of ona. Okay? So there is, it's Rav Neuberger, that's what I heard him say, in his name. The point could very well be whether you hold your wife's hand walking back, which I personally think is not a problem. I also think that you have to be more important whether you're holding or not is that you don't run ahead and dance with all of your friends and step on your wife's dress and step on her and not be there with her. It's more important not to hold hands and be with her than run ahead. But personally, I think it's not a problem of holding hands at that point. At the same time, there's also, as I had said, PDA is very much context, where you are, which means some people would argue with me, walking back from the chasan. For example, if I'm walking out with my wife, taking a walk after Marav at 9 o'clock, okay, some would say that that's fine, not only because my wife wants it. Also, it's a good thing to teach my children that you have that. It's not, I'm not hugging, okay? And others, definitely, when I come to yeshiva, for example, or in other places where it's inappropriate, you have to know there's certain things that are inappropriate. When I come to yeshiva, there's no way you'll see me holding hands with my wife because it's not appropriate in the yeshiva. So you have to know when things are appropriate, things aren't appropriate. When we continue, if you continue moving on in the wedding, one of the big things that have happened, it's really more of recent times over the last 5 years that I've seen, is that it's a very important mitzvah, misameach chatan v'kala, but then all of a sudden the girls start dancing in front of the guys nowadays. And I was shocked, personally. I saw it 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I was like, what is going on here? And what happens? You have 5 or 6 girls that want to be misameach chatan v'kala. That's very nice. But not only are they being Everybody is watching them. If that's ever a lack of tzniut, I think that that is the definition there. Obviously, the young lady should be dancing, and the whole question comes when it comes to the chatan, to make sure that he's dancing on his side, to make sure that he's not being exposed. Other things that come up are can a chassan dance with his kal? So we're not talking about the music of celebrate good times. Come on. No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that type of wedding and that type of music. We're not talking about a slow dance where they. I've been to a reform wedding where they, you know, we now invite the bride and groom for their, you know, that's pasha chukas akum like you've seen in certain weddings on movies. But we're talking about, can we know that the chassan wants to dance for his wife? Can he now, after he dances, can he dance a fast dance with his wife? So you've seen, if you've been to weddings, some of you have been to weddings already, sometimes you've seen them holding the kerchief together, right? Which is a little weird. Personally, since they're allowed to. Again, personally, I think it's fine. Again, they're not hugging, they're not caressing. They're dancing just like a brother and a sister. That's a little bit nice. I think, again, same thing with the family dance. Personally, I don't think it's a problem. Some people might disagree with me, which is fine. It's a proper understanding, the balance of being able to have tzniut, the avtarei kamocha, and understanding what is necessary and what is the proper PDA. There's one other piece that I'm trying to think if I remember anything, if anybody... Oh, there's two other pieces that I have. Number one is having a mechitza at a wedding. That's pashut, that you should be having mechitza based on the Gemara and Sukkah and Daf Nun Aleph. That the context there is Misha Lo Ra Simcha Space HaShoeva Lo Ra Simcha Miyamav, and there comes the sugya of mechitza. And there, the Gemara brings down a Kal V'Chomer and says, Malati Lavo She'oskin Behesped and Eina Yetzer Rosh Sholit Bahem. The Torah says, "Anashim levada, anashim levada, achshav she'oskim b'simcha, v'yetzah hara sholit b'hem." When you're dancing, I'm not talking about when you're sitting at a table together. One could say, "Look, so then according to the shita, you shouldn't be sitting together." I think l'fi'ani yosdaiti make a clear chiluk when you're sitting together at a and you're 23 years old or 22 or 21 and ready to, of connubial age. That's the time to be able to properly meet your kala. Or if you don't want to call her kala, the young lady you're going to marry. But here, for sure, you definitely need a mechitza. Again, to go and just staring at the girls dancing is pashut, the lack of sniyut, and is not proper. One of the pieces that happens, the chatan taking a knee, okay? That's always an issue that comes up when he wants to sing, Eshes Chayil, and even when you're proposing to get married, okay? It's not so simple. That since the chassan's dom lamelech, not so simple that the chassan should be taking a knee either. If anybody has any questions that I missed, I'm happy to. As I said, it was around 30 minutes. One second, hold on, and go ahead. Yeah.
Sometimes you notice at different weddings, it's the chassan going to the kala's side to dance with her. But sometimes you have that weird between balance of him dancing with her, but now also being surrounded by all of her friends. How does that fall between the
together? It's tough. It's tough. That's something you definitely have to speak. That's happened also over the last many years also. I don't think it's as bad as like the girls dancing in front of the guys and all those things. It's not great, that's for sure. But again, those are the types of balance of understanding what you have to be doing and speaking to your wife, to your parents, to your in-laws. It's not a simple answer. I personally wouldn't love it, that's for sure. Yeah.
What about the girls dancing on tuba? Like,
frolicking in the field?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In front of the guys. Like semi comparative, trying to get them to marry them. It's not,
mm-hmm.
Sounds like a wedding environment.
So that it does sound that. So the obviously, that, meaning we have many things in the Gemara and the Mishnah also that they did it, and obviously, it's a good question. First of all, it's a good question. You got to look it up more over there and understand why.
They're specifically trying to seduce.
They're trying to say, "Notice me, notice me."
Yeah.
So what I would say is, notice me by sitting at the tables, and you don't have to dance right now. I hear what you're saying. I got to look it up more. I think it's a better question than answer I gave. Yeah.
What about if it's like third dancing after dessert when it's just your family and close friends?
So that's what I said. If there's a family dance,
yeah,
the family dance I think is fine. You know, the question about the close friends, you have to be careful. You have to maneuver. I think you just have to be careful that way. Meaning, right? But again, that's the type of thing where you have the Mazinka dance and these type of things. Again, if you're dancing with your family, it's understandable. Again, you shouldn't be holding your sister-in-law's hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be smart. You have to be smart. It's a lot of chachamim of barosha when it comes to these things. But again, on one level, I hope I gave the proper framework for this year. That it's not detail here, it's detail there. It's saying that tzniut is not just, you know, one of these things you just throw out. It's a very serious halacha. And Rav Shechter told me, like, Americans just don't understand it nowadays because everything is so open. And I think that once you see that, you have to understand that, no, it's not true. That we're building a home to be able to understand the Matovo Alecha Yaakov, and we have a concept of tzniut. And not everything, just one other piece that I've seen, that and I try not to see. But sometimes, again, with the Facebook generation, some people find it appropriate to put on Facebook certain hugging pictures of a married couple. And that's pashut. I think also inappropriate. It's not, you know, it's no problem with a nice picture of a chasan and kala or a family. But then nobody's asking to have them hugging together. Again, I don't think that's for public consumption. Should have a good night.